Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Wow, what a week in the baby bankroll bonanza. I had a sizable lead in the neighborhood of 15K. Got greedy, so now we have ourselves a ball game. Still a little bit of a lead over Mr. Director John Murray, but we have ourselves a ball game moving forward. John Murray is going to join us, obviously, discuss the baby bankroll bonanza, also recap last weekend, also look ahead to a couple of interesting lines, including Jets and Packers not on the board as of Wednesday, given the uncertainty with Aaron Rodgers and also same similar situation with Cam Newton. So a lot of moving parts this time of year, a lot of fluidity with some lines with teams that are quote-unquote motivated with something to play for with the postseason, other teams not so much. So a lot to get through there. And Mike Clay, speed round with Mike Clay, will wrap things up as well. Kai, you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy, let's get to it.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Boy, is it. And Twitter is just going nuts. And I mean nuts when Vance Joseph kicked a field goal on Saturday night to narrow the deficit. So anytime you can take a score, make a score late to stay losing, you got to do it, right?
I was actually out to dinner on Saturday night. I wasn't watching the game, and I noticed my Twitter notifications going wild. Obviously, I saw what happened. Vance Joseph kicked a field goal inside the 5-yard line down by 4 points. That cannot be real life.
Oh, but it is. And he has also kept his job,
man.
Which
it is. Vance Joseph is going to be fired at the end of this season, guys. And he should have been fired on Saturday, in my opinion.
Like, what does John Elway think when that happens? And look, I feel for a guy who gets fired. I'm just saying, like, if you're John Elway and you have, I mean, think about all the effort that goes into this. Draft, scouting, preparation, hiring of players, all the other minutiae of running a team, and then you have a coach who just kicks it on fourth and one. Like, what the heck?
I can only imagine what was going through his mind. I also, Belichick again, I believe it was 14-7, and he kicked a field goal.
On the 11-yard line,
Sunday.
Fourth and one.
Yeah, and then they ended up losing, I believe 17-10 was the final. So I thought that was very questionable. I don't know what's happened to Bill Belichick, man. I mean, is Hugh Jackson taking over his mind or something? What is he doing with these? You know, I know we talked about it last week. You didn't necessarily agree with me, but I thought very questionable decision kicking that field goal against the Dolphins. I would have gone for that and certainly would have gone for it against the Steelers. He kicked that field goal as well. I don't know what's going on with Belichick.
Yeah, that guy was legit shocked when they kicked the field goal, because if there's ever a guy who's on the aggressive and earned some wiggle room and latitude to take risks, it's Belichick, although it's not even a risk at that point. It's kind of the, you know, we talk about it. What do the Steelers want him to do there? Kick. So.
Well, they definitely want him to kick. And I thought Andy Reid did the Chargers a favor in the Thursday night game. He punted. I believe I tweeted at you two gentlemen, you and Kai. I thought he did the Chargers a big favor there punting. And, you know, that end of that Chargers game, very exciting game. You know, the referees certainly got, I thought, overly involved. But it was exciting, and Kansas City blew that game. What they should have done was just sold all out on blitzes. If the Chargers do score a touchdown, catch them on the blitz, it gives Patrick Mahomes plenty of time to go right back down the field. The only thing that they couldn't do there was let the Chargers run the clock out and score, and that's exactly what happened. A huge win for the Chargers there.
I disagree a little bit, just because they did force a fourth down and long, and then once they got, so you're saying once they got,
and Rivers made one of the great throws I think you'll ever see to Benjamin. Yeah, that, I mean, I can't disagree with that. That was a ph- phenomenal throw. I don't know what you can do about that.
Well, and I think the defense actually held, so I wouldn't have blitzed it. I mean, the defense held and got a stupid PI call.
Yeah, that was questionable. That was very questionable. So, a lot of questionable. The last Kansas City touchdown drive to put them up 28-14, they were aided by several very questionable calls that kept the ball moving down the field. So I'm not saying that the Chargers won because of the officials. I just thought the officials took over that last drive. But it was a very exciting game. But, you know, we talked a little bit about it already, the Chargers going for two there at the end. If they're going to go for two there, they should have gone for two after the touchdown to make it 28-20, I thought. But they kicked that extra point, and then they went for two on the subsequent touchdown. Anthony Lynn is a mad scientist, boys.
Well, so a couple things. You said go for two when you're down 14 and score, much like the Giants did on Monday night and much like the Eagles did on a Sunday 2 weeks prior, I believe it was. The analytics suggest that you should. I'm not in that camp yet. I'm just not there yet because I don't trust. I know math says it's whatever percentage. I like how the Chargers did it. And I like going for the win when it is a few seconds left as opposed to what we've talked about in the past when there's like a minute to go. You're really just going for the lead.
You're right about that. You convinced me on that. You're absolutely correct. And I'll tell you what about the Chargers. If they can beat Baltimore on Saturday night, they're going to put a lot of pressure on the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs have a tough game Sunday night in Seattle. The Chargers win Saturday. It'd be a lot of pressure on Kansas City in that game.
And one more thing on the Chargers component. The reason it's even that much wiser to go for two is that it is late in the season, and you just mentioned the division race. Since Kansas City had already won in L.A., the Chargers, like a tie, hurts them just as much as a loss.
Right. A tie does them no good. They'll still finish behind.
So with the 10-minute overtime, and given that both teams could easily have just kicked a field goal, you know, or maybe not possess the ball at all, like you've laughed about, that if they lost the coin flip, they may not even get the ball, that all the more reason it made sense to go for two.
Yeah, that almost happened to the Eagles last week. Right. We talked about that on the show last week. It's not impossible. It could happen. It will happen someday. Someday a team will use the full 10 minutes and kick a field goal as time expires. That'll happen eventually.
Wisconsin, maybe, if they get to the NFL, will do that. It's like 17
yeah, any day now, if they get promoted up to the big show.
Okay, bud, so week 16, well, let me rephrase that. Week 17 came a week early with the Jets and Packers. I wrote a piece for ESPN Chalk, and really interesting. Ed Sammons took me behind the curtain a little bit in that you guys took a bet from a really respected bettor on Sunday, a guy who did really well in the preseason and beat a bunch of line moves, and here he is betting on the Jets. And you guys started to connect the dots on why this guy was taking the Jets on Sunday night.
Yeah, basically because there's no reason for the Packers to play Aaron Rodgers, which there's not any reason for the Packers to play Aaron Rodgers, just like there's no reason for the Panthers to play Cam Newton. If you've got these guys that are the faces of your respective franchises, you've got nothing to play for these last 2 weeks, and they've both been banged up this season. Certainly Cam Newton is hurt right now. And we all know that Aaron Rodgers was hurt earlier in the year. I don't see any reason to play these guys this week.
Right. So you guys start connecting the dots. The line was what? Green Bay -3 at the Jets initially.
We opened Green Bay 3, yes.
Right. And then it moved by Monday morning, Jets -2, 2.5. Mm. And then you guys started taking it down, right?
Yeah, we took it off the board, and we have it off the board currently. At this point, you know, we're going to have to come up with a number for the Super Contest. We do that this afternoon. But I don't see us putting it back on the board for actual betting here at the Superbook until we get a little bit more clarity of who Green Bay is planning on using at quarterback. I anticipate Rodgers not playing.
It's a tough call. So Caesars and South Point kept the number up at pick. I talked to Vinny at Gone Gaming, and he said basically like, if people are here in town, they want to bet on the game, put it to parlays and parlay it with Monday night. And, you know, if they, it's not like they have information we don't. I think it's a little bit of risk on both sides. So we'll just put it up and let people fire. But most.
Somebody may have information that we don't. I mean,
consensus wise, most people have the line off the board.
Right. Yeah. There are people out there that will get the information, believe me.
Yeah, so I just found it interesting that some books kept it up, some didn't. But obviously the popular consensus approach was to keep it off. But it's that you have the way the, hey, we want to put up a line, we want to cater to our customers, but we also, you know, going to weigh the status on the guy who maybe impacts the point spread more than any other player.
Yeah, and normally the Packers are a very bet-on team. We all know that. But I don't know that there's a huge demand for that Packers-Jets game this week with both teams out of the playoff mix. It's not going to be a huge handle game, even if Rodgers was fully healthy and playing.
So if he does not play, we're looking at DeShone Kizer.
Oh, boy.
What do you make the line?
The Jets are going to be certainly more than a field goal favorite. DeShone Kizer is so bad. And Joe Philbin is so bad. And the Jets, I thought, showed a lot of life on Saturday. We really needed the Jets on Saturday. We had a guy bet $130,000 on Texans' money line. It looked like he was in trouble there. The Jets took that late lead. Jets get one stop there, and they probably win that game. And then we had a lot of money on the Texans' point spread as well. Texans ended up kicking a late field goal to win by 7. That was an unfavorable result for us. But I thought Sam Darnold flashed a lot of talent in that game. I think the Jets really need to get this coaching hire right, pair the right guy with Darnold. I think he could be very good.
What was the closing line of that Houston Jets game?
We closed 7.
Okay.
So the push, but most of the money was in earlier. Most of the money was in on Houston at lower numbers. Most of the Houston bettors won, is what I'm trying to say.
Wow. Okay, so other than that.
It was a fortunate win there, I think, but it's okay.
So this is always fascinating to me, and I'm going to do a call. My column's going to be on this on week 16, sort of 17, when there's teams that have motivation and incentive to play. Like, how much is that factored into the point spread when one team does not? For example, Tennessee, the first game on Saturday, hosting Washington, Titans laying 10 over the Redskins, who, we'll get into the bonanza later. But, you know, what's this point spread if these exact same players play in, like, week 8?
It's still pretty high because you got Josh Johnson in there, quarterback for the Redskins. The Redskins are technically still in the playoff race.
That's true. Maybe that's a bad example.
Yeah, the Redskins are, technically speaking, they're right there, a half a game behind Minnesota and tied with Philadelphia. I think the Redskins are not considered in the playoff race because their quarterback is Josh Johnson, and people have kind of written them off, myself being one of those people. But technically, the Redskins do have a playoff spot to play for here.
Okay, so that's a bad example. Maybe Indy hosting the Giants is a better example. So you have 9.5 right now. What would this line be 5 weeks ago?
And that's a good example too, DK, because you've also got the Colts playing for a playoff berth. The Giants are totally out of it. And the Colts are coming off of a really high-profile shutout win over Dallas. So this number is absolutely inflated. I think this number would be more like on the other side of 7. If it wasn't for all those variables you're talking about. Although the Colts have been playing really well at home. Other than that hiccup in Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago, the Colts have been playing some good football lately.
Yeah,
the Colts are a team, if they get into the AFC playoffs, look out. They're a dangerous team, and there's no reason they couldn't beat New England or Pittsburgh or Houston in a playoff game.
I totally agree. This Colts team's playing great. That was a sharp pick on your behalf for the Mr. Musburger. With the Colts minus 3 last week. And this team's, they've won 6 of 7, right? They've won 6 of 7?
Yeah, they had that one hiccup, like I said, in Jacksonville. I don't know what happened there. But other than that game, they had a very good win at Houston a couple of weeks ago. They had, obviously, the shutout win over Dallas this past Sunday. They are playing good ball right now. If they get in, you look at a team like New England and Pittsburgh with all their injuries, you can't tell me the Colts couldn't beat those teams. They definitely could.
Well, I wrote a piece for ESPN Chalk on the MVP odds, and why isn't Luck more in the discussion?
I agree. Luck didn't even make it to the Pro Bowl.
And really?
He's a guy that he's an alternate for the Pro Bowl. He's a guy that I think a lot of people, including me, wrote off and thought he was never going to be the same because of his multiple surgeries. And it's good to see him finally has an offensive line that keeps him upright, finally has a play caller that knows what he's doing, which he hasn't had since his rookie year when Bruce Arians was there. He had terrible coaching under Chuck Pagano for years. He's finally got coaching. He's finally got blocking. And look at the numbers he's putting up. He's playing as well as I think any quarterback in the league, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and especially with Breeze struggling down the stretch here, the Saints offense, entire Saints offense is struggling. Mahomes losing.
I think Breeze has I know we talked about it on Monday night. There's something wrong with Drew Breeze. He's not – I don't know if he's hurt. Something's there because he doesn't look anywhere near the player he looked like a month ago, 2 months ago.
Well, I disagree a little bit. On Monday, Monday night against the Panthers, they had stupid penalties, and they had a couple drops. I just think teams are doubling Thomas, and they're making the other guys beating you. And I mean, I tell you, all these offenses slow down by December. I think they're tired. I think they're beat up. I think the speed guys like Kamara, Gurley, whatever, all these guys are just like beat up a little bit, and they're not as explosive. And I think defenses are figuring it out a little bit.
Well, the Rams are certainly a good example of that because the Rams don't look anything like they looked like early in the year. I don't know if teams have figured out what they were doing or if Jared Goff just isn't hitting the throws anymore, but that looks like a team that peaked way too early. The NFC playoffs are wide open.
I think the entire playoffs. This season has been just bonkers.
Yeah.
The last month.
The AFC has some really good teams. I think those two teams we saw on Thursday night are really a cut above the rest, but the NFC really is wide open.
Right. So you think, okay, so that's my point. Like, You think the AFC is definitely going to be won by the Chiefs or Chargers?
No. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Patriots went into Kansas City, Andy Reid froze up and got conservative and went into his shell and blew the game, despite, in my mind, Kansas City is way more talented than New England this year. It's not even close.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that – and the Chargers are way more talented than New England is too. But I don't trust either of those coaches, Lynn or Reid, to not choke in a playoff game, get all conservative and get scared and blow the game. I could definitely see that happening.
I think with Hopkins and Watkins in that defense, Texans are very much alive in the Super Bowl picture.
I like the talent on Houston. They've got a lot of top-shelf talent. I don't like the coach, Bill O'Brien. I think he's not good, we can say.
How dare you talk about my fellow Brown.
They certainly have the players. DeAndre Hopkins is incredible. Incredible player.
He really is incredible.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And then the Steelers. I mean, I think I think the AFC is wide open as well. I really do.
They're another team too with the talent. I mean, I really think New England, out of all the teams we just mentioned, I think New England has the least talented roster in that whole group.
I would agree.
But they have Belichick, they have Brady, so they're going to get credit, and people are going to expect them to win. But I don't think they've got the roster depth and talent that all those other teams have.
And for all we know, we're singing a different tune if the Miami Miracle doesn't happen, and then Hogan and there was another drop. They had two drops from third down that would have picked up the first down. That game unfolds a lot differently at Heinz Field.
Yeah, it's hard for me to – it doesn't look like New England's going to get a bye. And I can't picture them – first of all, they're going to have to beat a good team in the wild card round, maybe the Chargers, the Colts, or the Ravens, and then they'd have to win two road games. And I just don't think that they've got the team to do that. I really don't.
Well, they've never had the team to do that. They've never gone to the Super Bowl without having a bye. So never have they reached the Super Bowl without the one or the two seed.
Yeah, I don't put as much stock into that stat as some other people just because they always have a bye. So it's hard to make the Super Bowl as a non-bye team when you have a bye almost every single year. But certainly this year's team is just not of the caliber of these recent New England teams.
What do you make of the Eagles off that upset win, now laying 2.5 at home to Houston?
That's a game we've definitely seen some sharp money on at Pick'em at -1, now up to -2.5. That was a great win for the Eagles. Everybody wrote them off in the NFC playoff picture. That should be one of the better games this week, really. There's no reason why they can't win that game at home if they play like they did on Sunday night. And I'll tell you this, we need them to win, because we need somebody to edge out Minnesota for that #6 seed in the NFC playoffs. So we'll certainly be rooting for the Eagles and, I guess, theoretically also the Redskins on Saturday.
So you say that because of that huge bet at the beginning of the season, right, on the Vikings to make the playoffs. You took a yes.
Gentleman has $240,000 to win $120,000 on the Vikings making the postseason.
That's a decent chunk of change.
Yeah, it's not a small wager. No, certainly we need the Vikings to be squeezed out. If the Vikings win on Sunday and they're a 5.5-point favorite, I do expect them to be a big favorite next week against the Chicago Bears. I don't think the Bears are going to show anything in that game. The Bears won the NFC North this past week. It's very possible that they'll have nothing to play for. Although, if the Bears win on Sunday and the Rams – they could still catch the Rams for the bye because the Bears hold the tiebreaker over the Rams. So it's not impossible.
So you've taken some sharp bets on the Eagles. The line now 2.5. They're at home to Houston. What other sharp plays have you taken?
You might have heard this before, the Browns.
No, shocker.
Guys were laying 7.5 on Cleveland. The Browns are now an 8.5-point favorite. That's another game we really need for season total implications. We had a guy, I mentioned this to David Purdom, we had a guy bet 70,000 on Cleveland over 5.5 wins, 70,000 to win 50,000. We went to 6, and we took a ton of money under 6 because we all liked the Browns. We wanted to need the Browns. So now we need the Browns to get that 7th win, and we'll clean up on their win total if they can get that 7th win. And they're an 8.5-point favorite in that game. We also had a guy bet 19,000 on the Bengals money line in that game for this week. Hmm. So we need the Browns big time on Sunday.
19, that's a strange number.
It's an odd number, yeah. He bet the Browns, I think that was on Monday. He took 3-1. I'm sorry, he bet the Bengals, excuse me. He bet took 3-1. He actually can get a better number now. It's up to +3.25.
So that pays 57. I was trying to think of the randomness of that number. So
yeah,
you guys still stand to win.
I don't ask questions like that, man.
You still stand to win on Cleveland season win totals despite the over 5.5.
If they get to 7. If they get to 7, we'll do very well on that.
So and they're at Baltimore next week, so you may really need it just this week. It's got to happen this weekend.
We need it this weekend. I mean, this is the big game here. And it's crazy to think back to all the games the Browns blew early in the year. You know, they could have won that Oakland game. They probably should have. Very questionable. The ref respotted the ball. There was the New Orleans game when they missed, I think, an extra point where they could have won that game. They had their chances to beat Pittsburgh on opening day. That game ended in a tie. You just go down the list. There are so many games the Browns could have won.
Right, but they did win last week. Fortunate, a close one, and then also the week before against Carolina. So.
Yeah, it's Carolina. And they never would have beat the Jets in that Thursday night game if Taylor hadn't got hurt and he had been forced to put in Baker, or they would have lost that game.
Right, and maybe if Taylor wins those first couple games you mentioned, they don't replace him.
Right, and then they would be...
They'd still have Hugh Jackson.
They wouldn't be at 6 or 7 wins, I'll tell you that much.
Probably not. Anything else?
Not really. I mean, we got... We've seen some money. Come in on what is it? The 49ers. Excuse me. The 49ers at home against the Bears. 49ers two consecutive wins as home underdogs over the Broncos and the Seahawks. Now they're getting 4 at home against the Bears. Bears are off the NFC North Division Championship, but they do have a shot at a bye. So we'll be interested to see how motivated the Bears are this week. The thing is, they need the Rams to lose one of their last two games, and the Rams are going to be a huge favorite in both of those games.
Hmm, interesting. A lot of intriguing scenarios in all of this. So time to get to the bonanza, you think?
Yeah, I'm ready when you guys are. I got a few picks here from my guy.
So
the guy's not shy. I'll tell you that much. He's not shy.
The prince is not. All right, so we'll get to the baby bankroll bonanza, but first, a message from one of our sponsors.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Big, big shakeup. Your guy here got a little greedy. had an easy opportunity to play out of my position at halftime.
I
liked it, and I was like, you know what? I'm ahead of the line move. The over-under was, 37, so it wasn't going to be a shootout. Your Redskins only had a measly 3 points, and I felt pretty safe. I felt pretty safe that I could eke it out a cover here, but you know what? Cody Kessler, 57 yards passing was enough for him.
It's a great performance from the Redskins' defense. I mean, really, the only reason Jacksonville scored a touchdown is because the Redskins very foolishly punted it right down the middle of the field with 10 seconds left in the first half. I don't know if
that was amazing.
The punter was told to kick it out of bounds and he just didn't do it, or if the coaching staff just blew it. But, I mean, that was a horrible decision by the Redskins. It was the only reason Jacksonville even reached the end zone in that game. The Redskins' defense played awesome.
I forget which sports book, but I think there was like a 12-leg parlay or something ridiculous that hit. And one of those bets was a Jacksonville first half.
Wow. Yeah, I couldn't believe, I'm watching that game, I couldn't believe that they punted it like that. I mean, there was 20 seconds left in the half. All Jacksonville was just going to take a knee and go to the locker room, and they just punt it right down the middle of the field, and the kid returns it for a touchdown. It's just, again, I mean, I don't know if the coaches weren't paying attention or if the punter just ignored their instructions, but that was a dreadful decision by the Redskins there.
Well, it should have been a push because Josh Johnson converted a 3rd and 18, and I was feeling a little uneasy. I wanted Sanchez so badly because Johnson has the mobility variable.
Yeah, Sanchez, the line would be a little higher if Mark had been in there.
There's no way they win that game with Sanchez.
No. Oh, no. No. Sanchez shouldn't be playing in the NFL. I mean, there's a few quarterbacks out there that have no business taking snaps in the NFL. Deshaun Kizer is another one. The Redskins are better off with Josh Johnson. But it's a tough spot to put any quarterback in. Because if you're signing a quarterback off the street in December, that means that your team is in disarray. And it's tough to ask anybody to just go in there, learn the playbook, and play.
Well, not to worry. He was playing Madden video game to learn his teammates. So we're okay there. That's all you
Great.
Have to do.
I thought he played well, but the defense, or he played well in spurts, I should say. The credit goes to the Redskins' defense. They played a great game. And they're still in the playoff race. If they can somehow win Saturday, they could still potentially sneak into this thing.
So the updated, I believe, $2,765 behind you. Excuse me, ahead of you.
Yeah, the Prince of Props, he's just, he went 0-2 this week, and you know, I've known this kid since high school. We're talking 15, 20 years. I've been friends with this guy, and I'm starting to wonder if the whole friendship was a setup to just bury me in the baby bankroll bonanza in 2018.
Maybe he was my mole.
Yeah, just a mole. You planted him in the halls of Gonzaga College High School all those years ago just to screw me in the 2018 baby bankroll bonanza.
Yeah.
I thought he was on the mark with the McCaffrey pick. A McCaffrey under, we tweeted that out on Monday afternoon. That probably should have got there. That was a tough loss.
It sure was. And
yeah, that was a tough loss.
Very, very puzzling, just given how bad Cam looked, that McCaffrey got there with rushing plus receiving. Not passing, because McCaffrey threw for the only touchdown the Panthers scored. But a really, really ugly game. A lot of sloppy turnovers.
I tweeted at you and Kai. I loved Rivera. Ron Rivera went for that. The McCaffrey touchdown pass. That was on 4th and 1 around midfield. Vance Joseph would have punted that into the end zone for a net of 30 yards and a touchback.
Riverboat Ron delivers. And the Saints went for it too, up 3. 2 minutes of change left, right? Instead of kicking the field goal to go up 6.
Yeah.
Sean Payton did exactly what he did against Carolina in the playoff game a year ago, is go for the first down and the win.
I like it. I'm a fan of that, and I thought Cleveland made the right call, too. They went for it on 4th down after the Vance Joseph field goal. They didn't get it, but it was the right decision there.
Well, nothing you like to hear, but it is better. Murray, you lost less than I did, so you're on the tee box this week.
I got 3 plays here from my prop guy.
Well, before you go, I apologize. I'm going to cut you off. Before you go, we should establish, are we doing this through the postseason with the baby bankroll bonanza, or are we just week 17?
Well, I think the agreement was at the beginning of the year that we were going through the Super Bowl, yeah.
Okay. I just thought that comes into your game theory for bets, just given that there's 2 weeks to go.
Well, I talked to him on Monday after the loss. He said he was thinking about rebranding himself as another character for the postseason. like the monarch of money lines, I think he was going to go with, and just give me like Chiefs minus $8. But then he texted me this morning. He's got 3 picks.
Hold on. We got Moneyline Marv on line 1 calling to have a bone to pick with the Prince of Props. Stay your lane, he says. I just got the alert. Stay your lane.
I should go to Moneyline Mar for some picks here. This is getting ugly. But I'll give you his first one. This is in the Saturday game. Lamar Jackson under 1.5 touchdowns and interceptions. It's even money. Ooh. I'll play that for 500 to win 500.
Under 1.5 combined. So this is the Colt McCoy prop.
Yeah, this is the prop we use when quarterbacks can't throw the ball. Like we used this for Tyrod Taylor in the wild card game against Jacksonville last year.
If it's not rushing and receiving,
and interceptions,
right?
It's because the guy can't throw. Is what it comes down.
This
to.
Is not rushing receiving, right? This is purely passing.
No. This is TD passes and picks.
Huh. I kind of like the over there.
Oh, then you can go against the Prince. He's been tough on me lately. I know that.
Mike Clay, coming up on the podcast later, actually has a prop bet involving Lamar Jackson. Not the exact same play, but very similar. I'll just leave it at
well,
that.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I know it's your turn, but I got another Lamar Jackson prop I'm going to give out on this bonanza.
All right. So I could just take a knee here. I'm up, you know, like I said, close to 3,000. That's not what I do. That's not how I roll.
Well, if you were going to take the knee, you should have done it last week when you had a 5-figure lead.
Well, I think I had a bigger lead, right?
Oh, you had a huge lead. I mean, 13,000. The Redskins launched me back into this thing.
Yeah, I led by like 15,000. Last week I led by 15,000.
McCaffrey went over on that last possession of the game. He caught a pass to go over that number. If he doesn't do that, I mean, we're almost even at this point.
Yeah, I led 5280 to your minus 9575. I should have just played the Redskins plus 2.5 second half, and I would have a minus 7
yeah.
plus 9.5 middle
right.
for 10, right. 10, 10K each side would have been. That lands 8, the game over.
Oh, then the game is over, yes.
So
pack up and go home.
Well, right? You know, if my aunt had whatever, right, woulda, coulda, shoulda. So
sure.
I'm going to take, and you have Atlanta, Carolina, you have it off the board right now.
That's correct.
I'm seeing 2.5 a lot of other places.
Well, I think the rules were that to be a Westgate number, though.
But we don't have that rule for the live line. All right. I like Atlanta, but I don't see how Carolina wins this game.
That's why we have it off the board. I don't think Cam Newton's going to play in this game.
Right. Okay. It's it is middle time. I want my money back,
oh
Murray. I want my money
okay.
back.
I'm going
10K on the Colts minus 9.5.
Colts minus 9.5 against the New York Football Giants.
Yeah. We will be playing this back.
The Giants. Kai, how are you feeling after the loss this past week?
Nice cold splash of reality of who we really are.
we needed the Giants, Kai. We had a guy. We already had liability on Tennessee, and then on Saturday night, a gentleman came in and bet the Titans minus one for $50,000. So we needed the Giants, and I can't believe they're going to give Eli Manning another season. You got to be kidding me, man!
Totally ridiculous. Phil Still even said he will never pick on my team again. That's how horrible they've been looking.
That is a very poor decision because the Giants really do have a lot of talented offensive players. You know, you guys know I think they made a big mistake taking Barkley second overall, but Barkley is a great running back. Beckham's good. I like Shepard. I like the tight end, Engram. They need a different signal caller, but there's a lot of talent on that offense.
Sounds to me like you guys a couple of bookies.
Love hearing you guys talk Giants and the point spread. It's just... We complain that they're in prime time all the time, but we keep talking about this team.
Yeah, arguing about the NFC East is what the holidays are all about.
and if the Cowboys lose and then they go into East Rutherford, imagine the covers. That's going to get ridiculous.
Oh man, that's for sure. The Cowboys really. The reason I picked against them last week was I thought they'd basically locked up their division and they weren't going to be fully focused on the Colts and. After what happened to them against the Colts, I think Dallas will be focused on the Buccaneers on Sunday. I don't think they're going to let that happen again.
All right. You have a play?
Yeah, I got another Prince play. It's another Lamar Jackson play. It's will Lamar Jackson score a touchdown? Yes, plus 140, and he's going to do that for $500.
Ooh, that's exactly what Mike Clay's going to go with.
Oh, the king of props.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's
nice.
That is... you have to rush. That's a rushing or receiving, right?
Yeah, technically he could catch a pass. Nick Foles in the Super Bowl last year crushed us because he caught a touchdown pass. But generally speaking, you're referring to a rushing touchdown by the quarterback here.
I like the under. I like the no.
You like the no? Okay. I mean, the board is available to you. That's a bet on if you want to play that.
So I got another play for us. I'm going to go 2K. On a team that has gone under 5 straight, I'm jumping on the train. because I do think there's something to this. Saints and Steelers under 53.5. It's going to fly
under
over probably.
Boy, the Steelers had to have that game Sunday against New England, and they got it because they got Baltimore nipping out their heels in the AFC North, and they got this game looming at New Orleans. They had to win that game, and they did. So good to them. Good for them.
So this Saints team has really struggled. I saw a graphic, and their defense is playing much better. So they've given up in the last handful of games 9, 14, 13, 17, 7, 14 in the last six games. The last five have gone under.
The Saints are a team that's been on the road for a long time.
Three straight.
So maybe we'll see them get right now that they're getting back home and playing the Steelers on Sunday afternoon. That should be one of the most heavily bet games of the week. Probably the second most heavily bet game of the week, with Kansas City, Seattle being first.
Kansas City, because that's the night game, right?
Yeah, that's the Sunday night game, and there's going to be a lot of liability to the Chiefs in all likelihood. Although the Saturday night game is very good, the Baltimore Charger game, there will be a lot of money in that game as well. The Christmas Eve game, not so good. The Christmas present. From the NFL to us, the Raiders-Broncos game.
Oh, gosh. There you go.
That's not a very good game.
You got more Prince of Props action?
Yeah, he's got one more for us. He's going under Philip Rivers, 265.5 yards, going up against that very good Baltimore defense on Saturday. So three releases from him all in the Saturday night game. Going to have my eyeballs all over that game. Critiquing him the whole time, of course.
Is that 550 to win 500?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 550 to win 500 on that one, yes.
So just to clarify, remember the Prince of Props had a lot of action he wanted, and you mocked him. You laughed him off. But now you're embracing his three plays.
Yeah, I told you we go way back. I gotta stick up for the kid. Hopefully he can come up with some winners. I know he feels bad. Hopefully we can get something done this weekend here.
Not as easy as it sounds, huh?
No, it's not. It's not. Picking stuff on Wednesday for Sunday's games is not easy.
I think I'm out of plays for now. I do like Houston, but with the line move, I'm hoping to get it to 3. Do you think it'll go to 3?
It might. There's been a lot of sharp money come in on Philadelphia in this game. And Philadelphia is coming off of such a high-profile win on Sunday night. I wouldn't be shocked by it. Houston was pretty fortunate to beat the Jets, but they have been playing well lately.
And I'll say this, when the Eagles are winning, look, I thought the Rams would blow them out, so I was dead wrong, but everyone's like, oh, did everyone forget Foles the Super Bowl? Well, is everyone forgetting the Nick Foles who played against the Raiders in week 15 or 16 last year, who couldn't even complete a pass?
Yeah, or the Nick Foles that played in the divisional round game against the Falcons, which
right.
A game that the Eagles could have easily lost. Everybody forgets about that. The Falcons had, what was it, 4th and goal, the 2 or the 3 yard line there to win that game. Atlanta could have easily won that game, and then I think you're probably looking at a New England-Minnesota Super Bowl.
Yeah, and everyone's just mocking. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting defensive for loving the Rams last week, but the line did move.
Guns.
The line did move to my line. I mean, it closed 13.5-14. I was talking about it at 10.5-11.
Stick to your guns, because I've been saying all year how bad I think the Dolphins suck, and then last week I finally gave them praise on this show. I gave Adam Gase praise. And they went out and just got murdered by the Vikings. So just stick to your guns, I think, is the move.
I sat there looking at the score at 14-0. I go, how did I not see this coming? Look at what happened last year. Minneapolis Miracle, right? Vikings celebrate for 3-4 days. That was a playoff game. And they just had nothing left in the tank when they faced the Vikings. Excuse me, the Eagles. Here we have the Miami Miracle. They're celebrating. And they're going to face a team that's coming home after getting embarrassed in back-to-back road games. How I did not sniff that out, I will never forgive myself.
What did you think of that pick six that Kirk Cousins threw in that game? That was really one of the most spectacular interception returns for touchdowns you'll ever see. It was a hideous throw.
Well, at that point, remember, I was starting to root for the Dolphins because I was kicking myself for not betting the Vikings, so I was actually really excited. I was like, okay, maybe this will... Then it got to 21-17. I was like, okay, now I don't feel so stupid. But yeah, it was pathetic. I mean, there's... But again, We have seen that before.
Seen it before. And Dolph, the Miami's been terrible on the road this year. That's very well documented. They've had some success at home. Certainly, most notably, the win over New England and the win over Chicago in overtime earlier in the year. But they've been a terrible road team all year.
I know, and it has me looking at Miami -4 this week against Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville gave everything it could in that last home game. I don't know. This over-under is 38.5. Do you really want to lay 4 against? I don't know.
You're not going to go with New England? I need New England to win that game, man. The Bills are just... They're ruining my Christmas season, guys. They won again on Sunday. 5 wins for that Buffalo team. It's just remarkable.
I don't think they'll get the win, but I also don't want to lay the points. Like we've talked about, this New England team's not very good.
I hope they don't get the win. I'm counting on New England winning that game, and my worst case scenario being a push. I certainly hope that New England can beat them at home as a 13-point favorite. Yeah.
So does Buffalo have any running backs left?
I don't know how they keep doing it.
They had 4 really running backs injured, all out at one point of the game. They had a fullback sometimes there, and they were just like Josh Allen was their running back.
Detroit down 14-13, played for the field goal, gentlemen, and they missed. Just another loser move there. Don't play for the field goal. Keep trying to get yardage, and if you don't, then kick the field goal. But don't play for the field goal. Kicking is for losers.
We know this. All right, so I'm out of plays for now. Do you have any plays? Like, what's your Mr. Musburger play?
You know what? I haven't totally decided. Maybe we can talk through it a little bit. What do you guys think of the 49ers this week, +4 against the Bears? You guys like that at all?
A little late to the party, I think. I think the Niners, after their back-to-back. I mean, look, back-to-back home wins. You're right, a little bit of a flat spot for Chicago. I would like it a lot more if the Rams had won last Sunday night.
Right. But, right, yeah, because then the Bears would have nothing to play for. Yeah. Well, I got, you know, Musburger's in the money right now.
Mm.
So the pressure's on. I think he's in the top 50, actually. So really got – the other one I'm looking at is – try not to get too surprised here. The Browns. Browns -8.5. I think they're going to try to stick it to Hugh Jackson. The Bengals coming off of a win over the Raiders. You know what? Give me the Browns -8.5 for 500 in our show.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm leaning in the direction of the Browns. The other one I'm considering is the Raiders, +2.5 on Christmas Eve. But actually, I had a chance to talk to Mr. Musburger yesterday, and he told me be careful because the Raiders are really banged up at the offensive tackle spots, the offensive line, and the strength of Denver is certainly the pass rush with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, I don't think I'd in crunch time back the Raiders getting less than a field goal.
Yeah, well, the handicap there is that the Broncos are going to quit on Vance Joseph, knowing he's a lame duck coach.
Mm. We've seen.
Is this the final game at Oakland Coliseum?
So, does Mr. Musburger, is he allowed to like pick Raider games and stuff, even though he's the broadcaster there?
Yeah, that's never been clarified to me. I don't know. I should probably avoid that one. But yeah, yesterday was really cool for me. I had a chance to chat with Brent Musburger. I had a chance to chat with Jimmy Vaccaro of the South Point.
Wow,
it's pretty fun just sitting around and just chatting with those guys about the industry and everything. It's still like a thrill for me, even though I've done it many times. But it's still very cool.
You know what's crazy? I'm going to send Mr. Musburger a text. I just spoke with my mother. And how I didn't know this, I'm an idiot. But Mr. Musburger and had his kids go to the same little league as my older brothers.
Really?
And I have good family friends who coached, the team that Mr. Musburger. So there's like, and my buddy's mom is like really tight with Mr. Musburger's wife. And I need to text him right now and tell him that I played the same little league and all that, and we have mutual friends.
That's funny. Yeah. The pressure's on.
All these years, and I never knew
that.
Right.
Yeah, we want to come through for Brent and find a winner for him here. I think the Browns probably be what I go with. It's the safe. The Browns are like my safe space.
Yeah,
you know, I just go to them and I feel comfortable. They're like a comfort food.
Well, I think there's going to be value once the Green Bay Jets line gets posted.
Yeah,
I think that could be an opportunity to take the Jets there.
We'll definitely have some chats this afternoon about that game and the Panther game, certainly.
One team I think I might sniff out a blowout is Kansas City. I think They could hammer the Seahawks.
The pressure's on them. If the Chargers win, I almost always call them San Diego. If the Chargers win, the pressure is on Kansas City.
My thing is how good is Seattle?
Yeah, they're an overachiever. We've talked a lot about Buffalo being such an overachiever, but Seattle's another one. Their talent level's not that great, and they've been overachieving all season.
I mean, that Vikings win, I mean, obviously they could have lost so easily. I love Russell Wilson. What he does is impressive as can be, but Kansas City is just so loaded on offense, and their defense isn't as bad as people say it is.
No, it's not terrible, and certainly their offense, Kansas City and the Chargers are – I think are just the two most talented teams in the league.
I think that's a good spot to back the Chiefs 10 days. You know, circle the
wagons. Don't be surprised if that line closes a little higher on Sunday night, especially if a lot of favorites are coming through and especially if the Chargers do win on Saturday night.
All right, Mr. Director, you convinced me.
Oh.
10K on Kansas City minus 2.5.
Whoa, I didn't say all that. See, we went from nothing to 10K just off of a.
It's a middle. We're going to set up a middle here. I don't think the Seahawks go wire to wire, much like I didn't think the Redskins would, and I had my chances to play out of it. Maybe I'll be a little bit more conservative this time.
Kai, you're good with it?
Yeah, it's allowed.
It's allowed.
Moderator. I love it, man. That should be a good game. I think that'll be. That's probably the game I'm looking most forward to on Sunday, except for the Brown game. Wasn't it weird not having a Browns game to watch on this past Sunday? I know I was sitting with Ed Sammons on Sunday morning, and we were just like looking all around the TVs, like, where are our Browns? Like, what are we supposed to watch right now? We missed them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you went through it earlier in the year with the bye week and also when they played on that Thursday.
Yeah, right, the Thursday night game. It's no good. I'll be much happier on this Sunday morning watching my Brownies at 10 a.m.
All right, my man. Thanks as always. Safe travels to the East Coast, and I know you're going to see the pup as well. Are you going to see your cousin Kyler Murray to celebrate the Heisman?
I'd love to see him, but I think he's busy preparing for the Orange Bowl.
Okay.
But it'll be nice seeing the rest of the family. I'm only there for like a day and a half. I'm flying back out here on Christmas night to be back at work on Wednesday morning. So.
Well, that's why you're the director.
Oh, yeah. It's a quick trip, but it'll be good to see my mom and my siblings, my cousins.
That'll be good. All right, dude. Well, great, as always, having you on. Thank you very much. Safe travels. Happy holidays. And we'll catch you back here after Christmas for a recap of the baby bankroll bonanza. Who on earth is going to imagine what's going to happen?
I'll try to give you something else, too. I'll see. Certainly when I make the pick for Mr. Musburger, I will tweet at both of you gentlemen.
Yes, please let us know, and we'll have some plays for the weekend on Twitter as well.
You got it.
All right, bud, take care.
All right, guys, take care.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, thanks to John Murray. As always, Mr. Director, giving us great insight and some comedy on the side. Mike Clay, as I mentioned, has some prop plays as well. He's going to join us momentarily. But first, a word from one of our sponsors. Indochino is North America's leading made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Guys love the option to personalize the details, including your lapel, lining, pockets, buttons, and writing your own monogram. Here's how it works. Visit a stylist at a showroom and have them take your measurements personally or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. Choose your fabric inside and out. Choose your design customizations. Submit your measurements with your choices and relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in a couple of weeks. Just watch as the compliments roll in. 2018's lowest prices, up to 70% off everything. The theme is all about stepping out from backstage, make an entrance, take center stage, your biggest moment, grand finale, you get the picture. This week, listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com when entering Behind the Bets at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Behind the Bets for any premium suit for just $359 and free shipping. Incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit.
Talk nerdy to me.
fantasy analyst and insider Mike Clay back here on the podcast. And Mike, welcome to the world of gambling. It's not just fantasy that feels the pain of, you know, one and done in terms of one play and you're hurt or whatever it was. For Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I had one of our picks last week was Keenan Allen scoring a touchdown, and I had him in fantasy, actually, in quite a few leagues. A lot of people did, and he got you at zero. But what was even worse about him getting injured so early is he had the ball in the end zone, he fell down, and his butt cheek touched out of bounds, or I guess his hip that got injured, no touchdown. And then his replacement on at least some of his routes, Mike Williams, scored three touchdowns in the game. So it feels like a win, but if you put that, you know, if you place that ticket, you're not taking home the cash.
So even with that bad beat, for lack of a better phrase, 3-3
3-3 last week.
Yep. How did we do on Thursday?
2-1 I want to say. Well, that was the Allen game, so I think we went 1-1 or maybe 1-2 I'm not
sure. All right, so the magic on Thursday may have slowed down a bit. All right, so speed round, because we like to do this quick, and I joked last week we're making the nerd run.
Yeah, let's do it.
This guy's giggling there behind the glass. So let's rip through these. Start with Saturday.
Yeah, and this one I actually texted you last night, right? Because I'm looking at Lamar Jackson touchdowns, and it actually just says Lamar Jackson touchdowns, yes, plus 40, no, minus 160. We assume that's rushing and receiving touchdowns
right,
only.
Not throwing.
Yeah, but either way, I think you jump on this. Plus 140 for a yes. He has two rushing touchdowns in his five starts. The opportunity's been there near the goal line at times because he has 86 carries, and that usually is going to add up to a handful of touchdowns. By the way, the Ravens have at least one rushing touchdown in nine straight games. The Chargers, their opponent in this game, have allowed 8 rushing touchdowns during their past 5 games. So this is set up to be a game where the Ravens can find the end zone with their legs a few times, and Jackson's going to be a part of that.
Interesting. I'm on the no there for a rushing and receiving, because I don't think the receiving touchdown's an option. You never know with given the Wildcat and what they run near the goal line, but I'm gonna say the no there.
Minus 160, though? You're going to take the no or just stay away from that
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would need more to get a Lamar Jackson. How many touchdowns are supposed to be scored for Baltimore? 2? 3?
How many to be scored? How many will
Ravens?
Be scored? Yeah, probably. I would say probably 2 or 3. Yeah, right in that window.
So, I don't...
Yeah, they've been scoring about 2 a game with Lamar Jackson in there, but he's such a huge part of it.
Right.
I think that at plus 140, it's attractive. But again, that's a reason.
But that's just me. I trust you in the analytics.
Well, we'll see. Obviously, when I go in on the plus ones like that, a plus 140, like we did with Nick Chubb last week, no touchdown was plus 115, so that was a pretty good bet he didn't score. Those ones, I'm willing to take a little more risk because of the profit.
Gotcha. All right. Kansas City-Seattle game.
Let's see here. Kansas City and Seattle. I'm starting with Russell Wilson here. Over 2 passing touchdowns. That's even money. He's been over 2 passing touchdowns in 6 games this season and has at least 2 in 12 of 14 games this season. So there's a pretty good chance he's going to get to at least 2. You're looking at this Chiefs defense. It's allowed 2+ in 4 straight and 3+ 4 times this season. I think this could be a shootout. Seattle's defense is overrated for sure. It looks good because they're so run heavy. I think a lot of points could be scored in this game, and Wilson's going to have to throw it more than he normally would against the Chiefs.
Yeah, it looks like push is the worst-case scenario.
Yes, exactly.
That Kansas City defense. Okay, keep it rolling.
Next one here for me, Chris Carson, under 78.5 rushing yards at minus 110. I have him at 16 for 72. This is kind of a game script call. I don't think he's going to get the rushing volume he usually gets in this run-heavy Seahawks offense because, again, they're playing from behind or close with this Chiefs team trying to play catch-up. You have to throw the football. And look at Carson this season. In the 6 games he's failed to reach 17 carries, he has not cleared 69 yards in any of those games. In the 6 he reached 17 carries, he has 83 plus yards in all of them. Again, I don't think he gets to that 17 number this week. And again, team's very pass heavy against the Chiefs. I don't think he gets there.
Be careful there playing from behind. Kansas City only a 2.5-point road favorite here. So Seattle obviously, you know, very much could be leading this game.
Even if it's close, I think, are they really going to stop the Chiefs from scoring 3, 4, or 5 touchdowns? Nobody has been able to this season, and I'm not afraid of the Seahawks defense.
All right, speaking along those lines, you like Seahawks over their team total of 25.5.
Absolutely, averaging 27 points per game at home this season. They put up 24 against Dallas, tough defense, 17 against the Chargers, tough defense, 21 against Minnesota, tough defense. Otherwise, 27 plus against the Rams, Packers, and the 49ers, and the line's 25.5. I think they can clear that. And on the road this season, how about this Chiefs defense, Doug? 34 points per game allowed. The points allowed 28, 37, 23, 43, 21, 54, and 33. 3.7 touchdowns per game allowed. They're getting destroyed all over the place, but especially on the road.
Finally, bum, 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 Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Broncos, Raiders. Not quite division up on the line here between these two rivals in the AFC West.
I don't know. As a Raider fan, I kind of just want them to roll over. But you're at least expecting their defense to give up some passing touchdowns.
Hey, their last two home games, they hung in there, right? They upset Pittsburgh, and they almost beat the Chiefs.
I want draft picks.
Yeah, well, I hear you. But I think they could pull off the upset. Nonetheless, I'm going with Case Keenum on this one. Over 1.5 passing touchdowns at plus 110 here. I think we got burned on him with this one a couple weeks ago. But here's the thing. If Case Keenum does not throw for two or more touchdowns in this game, it will be the first time a visiting quarterback failed to hit that mark this season in Oakland. So that would be an impressive feat by Keenum. Oakland allowing 2.6 pass touchdowns per game at home. That is a huge number. The red flag here, Keenum, only 5 passing touchdowns over his past 6 games. That should scare you a little bit. But again, if he doesn't do it, it'll be the first one this season not to go into Oakland and toss 2 touchdowns.
So you look at the quarterbacks that have gone in to the black hole. You're looking at Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Rivers, Mahomes,
okay,
Big
fair
Ben.
Enough. Yeah, there's so some good quarterbacks on that list. Yeah.
But it's, you know, whatever. I'm just, so our listeners, these are all kind of established starters in the NFL. And then there's Keenum, who actually obviously played well last year for the Vikings. But, I mean, it's a run-heavy offense, but at some point you got to throw the ball.
Yeah, no question. And again, they've been exposed in that area too, also allowing 2 point. Well, again, the schedule is tough. That's a totally valid point, and they haven't done it. But as I pointed out the last time we talked about this one, they've scored a lot of their touchdowns on the ground, but their play calling near the goal line suggests more of them should be turned into passing touchdowns. So I think they like the young group of receivers they have. They've come around. They're starting to use Matt Lacoste a little bit at tight end. There's some reason for optimism here at plus 110. I think it's worth a shot, but obviously there's reasons to be a little, this one's a little riskier than the others.
All right, bud. Well, appreciate it. We're going to do some podcasting next week. We're trying to figure out what props will be there, things like that. But either way, have yourself a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Appreciate your efforts all throughout the season.
It's been fun. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Talk nerdy to me.
Thanks to Mike Clay and thanks to John Murray. I know the holidays are busy for everyone, so we appreciate their efforts. And hopefully while you all listening travel, you guys can soak in some insight from those two and myself as we yuck it up here on the pod. Kai, confessions of a non-gambler.
No, man, I'm good, man. We're rolling. I'm just hoping that the Prince of Props doesn't turn into the Pauper of Props.
The what of props?
The Pauper.
Pauper. I like that. So here you are, you're just a sharp now. You have no questions ever. You understand everything we covered?
I think I like to dub myself a legitimate degenerate now.
Yeah. All right, welcome. The waters are warm over here. Plenty of room.
Vegas warm,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, just come and jump right in. We appreciate, we welcome you. All right, my man. Well, are you traveling for the holiday?
I am traveling. I'm going to go sneak back to Jersey for a couple of days for the holiday, but I will be back so that we are all ready for going into the semifinal bowls, NFL stuff, week 17. I'll be here.
Yeah, important time of year for football fans and all sports fans, really, because we have the Christmas slate of games. And as I mentioned yesterday in the pod, I do picks every Wednesday with Andre Snellings and Jordan Schultz. Next Wednesday, nothing going on. We're going to do Christmas Day is we're going to have games. So that big slate of NBA action for Christmas Day, we'll do something on the that day. So go check out our action there. And thanks to everyone for downloading. Long season. We appreciate your loyalty and the home stretch here. Maybe I can get back on track in the baby bankroll bonanza. We'll catch you back here next week.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.